Okay, looks like we're live.
We did it.
We're missing our background crew today. Yes, we've had no countdown, so you just have to come and hang out with us immediately today. But yes, so hi, Sonia.
Hey, Maddie. Fancy seeing you here on a Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday afternoon. That means it's work at life day. And we have some fun stuff to talk about today. But first, as always, we want to do some quick introductions. So I'm Maddie Grant. I'm a culture designer. My company is called Propel. And I'm here with Sonia.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sonia Lacina. I'm an organizational psychologist, and I'm the president of the Workforce Business Unit at Question Pro.
Yes, and our Work at Life show every Tuesday is all about the intersection between work and life, but really around culture and organizational effectiveness, and all the things that help organizations thrive and the people within them thrive, particularly in these uncertain times, and not just pandemic related, but also just quickly evolving, digital, virtual, all of these things that are relevant to the workplace today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually really fun to see all the different things unfolding and what organizations are doing and what they're thinking about and how they're looking at shaping their culture. And we actually had a management meeting at Question Pro just a couple of hours ago and talking about continuing taking our culture, how do we continue to globalize it even more effectively as we continue to iterate how we work and do we reopen offices? Do we continue to work from anywhere? How does that really transcend and just how incredibly important culture has always been, but then also how incredibly more important it's going to be moving ahead. And so how do we manage that in the best possible ways? And I think it's been really fun to think about different ways and how do you actually get in tuned with the people and understand what their needs are? And then what can organizations do? And how do we challenge the status quo and all the different norms? And what does an incredible culture look like? I think it's just in a difficult time. I think it's also a fascinatingly fun time for us to really, I think the word reimagine sometimes has become a cliche, but I would say in this case, it actually really applies. How do we reimagine what culture looks like? And really connect with people even better with each other.
Well, and especially you guys are very much a global company, and but even for smaller organizations, it's like your customers are, all over the place. If not globally, then in different, locations. And when we're dealing with people pretty much through the internet most of the time, even unrelated to the pandemic, there's a lot to think about in terms of what culture looks like inside and outside the organization, and that inside versus outside is becoming more blurred too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because even when you say like what is a global organization, I think many times we've thought about where do our employees sit or where are our offices? So now where do our employees sit? A lot of times it could be a question of where customers or clients, like you said, and then also where's our competition? Because in some ways, even if you're a US-based organization and your employees are US and maybe even your target market as far as customers is the United States, you're probably getting increasing competition from companies all over the world saying, hey, I'm calling in from Europe, I'm calling in from Latin America, Asia, and I have this incredible platform. Does that make you more of a global organization? Because it's competition. I think the access to information is so much more readily available today than it ever has been before that it's almost impossible for you to say, no, I'm going to be local or I'm going to have a specific mindset because of all of these different factors that are just happening around us. I think they're, in some ways, whether we like it or not, I think in many ways they're good, but it's almost like you lose the ability to control that definition in some ways.
I actually read some case studies about some very what you would consider hyper local like our typical, you know, retail businesses. Like, you know, somebody makes like super special jam from, you know, the rolling hills of Virginia, but they're growing their business through the internet. And, you know, many of their customers are not based in Virginia and not people who come, you know, locally to sample their jam. They actually come from all over the world.
Yes.
It's so interesting to me. But
yes, I love it. So I guess kind of veering back to our topic today, as always, we ask workers around the United States a number of different questions to understand what's the sentiment today, what are people thinking about. And actually recently we, last week at a Question Pro, we had a MENA conference for our Middle East and North Africa region. And we talked about culture a lot. We talked about burnout, all these different factors that impact workers. And one of the things that came up, which I feel like keeps coming up organically, is onboarding. And as organizations continue to bring on new employees, and as we continue to be virtual, how do we make sure that really the people are very, you know, in tune with the culture, that they know their colleagues really well, and how big of a challenge is it? So we asked workers a few questions just around that. The first one was a question: if you had started a new job during the last year, so we're sadly well into the pandemic. So if you started a new job during the last year and you were virtually onboarded, how well connected do you feel to the company culture? So there's been, again, a lot of organizations, and I would say especially organizations that have invested a lot in their culture, and especially from top down. So, you know, top executives, CEOs saying, you know, I'm really worried that if we don't bring people back into these buildings, into these walls, that if we don't have them, you know, with our foosball tables, that we're going to lose that sense of culture. And so we figured, well, let's ask the people, how are you feeling? You know, are you feeling disconnected if you started in the last year and you were virtually onboarded, and so you're likely not interacting with that many of your colleagues? Do you feel a strong, you know, connection to your culture? And actually over half of people said that they feel extremely well connected. So to me, that was remarkable because it talked so much about the relationships and in some ways the non-tangible, non-physical things, but the connections that if your organization has the vision, the passion, that you don't need to be physically close to someone and in close proximity with people, that that actually translates. And I think that this data, compared to the concern that we've seen from a lot of executives or those leading culture in organizations, is almost quite the opposite, where organizations are saying, we're really worried about this. And the people are saying, I'm okay. I feel like I get the culture. Like, I feel like just, you know, connecting with the people maybe is enough, that I don't have to be inside those walls to be able to feel it.
Yeah. So to me, this is extremely exciting because it shows there's some assumptions we can make. And of course, if we had more time, we could test all of these assumptions. But there are some assumptions we can make around, number one, how the company is communicating what their culture is. So if people feel extremely well connected, not just, you know, decently connected, but extremely well, I would assume that means there's at least something where people in the company are able to share what the culture is, like exactly what it's all about, right? Then the other piece that is an assumption on from my part is that there's so much of the culture that is reflected in the people who are working there. So the choices, the hiring choices that are made, or the people who are there, you know, even if they've been there a very long time, the people who stay, those people reflect the culture in the way that they are and the way that they work, right? And then the actual work reflects the culture. Mm-hmm. So the rules around, you know, how you communicate with your team, how you share information, how you communicate, you know, up the hierarchy or down the hierarchy, you know, all of these different kind of structures and processes that exist beyond the four walls of an organization, That tells me that there's so much culture embedded in those processes, yeah. which is great because, of course, that's the kind of work that I've done a lot of research on. But I'm just so excited to see that it's really, I mean, this kind of data point sort of proves that it's really not just about, you know, the building that you walk into, right?
No. And I think that this kind of data also should give people courage when we think about where you're working from, what hours you're working, that we don't have to have those structures for the culture to be strong and to be present and to really permeate to all the different individuals, because it is so much, like you said, like around the processes, the relationships, the non-tangible outside of the walls. And it'll also help to translate globally as well, that it's not just about where we specifically located, but that it's also, you know, when you think about your expansion, when you think about where am I going to hire my next talent, if the job is not physically constrained to a place, all of a sudden this kind of data really opens up the possibilities a lot more infinitely than if a culture is really so strongly tied to a physical location.
Yeah, and one other piece to this that this data doesn't show but is very related is the idea that there are natural subcultures mm-hmm. in a company. Different departments mm-hmm. can have different sort of internal cultures, definitely different offices or different geographic locations. Of course, they have different subcultures. So this data point doesn't get to that, but it does get to the idea that you can at least be connected to the subculture that you belong to as a brand new person coming on board. You know, your department, your team, your manager, your, you know, office location, if that's, you know, like a global team, all of that kind of stuff. So there's an important connection that is working.
Yes, absolutely. And then building off of that, we'll jump into this data point and then we'll quickly recap for those who are joining us. So in addition to asking about culture, we also asked about how well connected somebody feels to their colleagues, because one, it is big part of culture as well. It's culture is not just about what is the company's mission, vision, values, but it's also how well do you enjoy, how well do you feel like you're growing from those who surround you, and how challenging does that become when you're not in close physical proximity? And actually, even more people said that they feel extremely well connected to their colleagues even after they were virtually onboarded than the culture itself. It's 4 percentage point difference. But again, it's that power of building the relationships that spans so much beyond bumping into somebody at a water cooler or being able to grab lunch physically together, that it actually spans over geographies, over, you know, digital technologies that allow us to meet in a virtual setting.
Yeah. Shall I do the quick recap?
Yes, please.
So today's topic is about virtual onboarding. So our first data point was how well connected we asked people, how well connected do they feel to the company culture if they just got a job within this past year and were virtually onboarded? And then the second data point is how well connected do they feel to their colleagues? And in both cases, quite positive, very positive results on these. And for this one, I think what is really interesting to me, again, there's a bit of assumptions that need to be tested. So when you're being onboarded virtually or not, part of that onboarding is likely to always be, you know, let me take you around and introduce you to various people in the company, right? Like that's part of onboarding. So there is a little bit of a timing aspect in terms of, you know, getting to know people in the company when you're a new staff person. But this question is about being connected, which is not just, you know, how well was I introduced to people? It implies more about kind of building relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. And what I think is really an interesting question is the idea that everybody is virtual potentially something that makes it more important to kind of level the playing field and have effort on both sides for somebody to get to know a whole variety of people in their organization, as opposed to in person, maybe you very quickly get sucked into a silo.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right? You're onboarded, you meet a few people, but then, you know, month two, you stop talking to all the people that you don't directly have, you know, to email or meet. Yeah. Just, it's a curious thought, but maybe the fact that we're all virtual means that, you know, it's easier to maintain those connections to kind of the next level out or two or three levels out of people that you might have met, because, you know, you're not just kind of cloistered in your own department, like in a physical space. I wonder.
Well, there's so many different layers of this. A couple of things come to my mind too is, one is from an aspect of expectations, and also what were people expecting when they were virtually onboarded? Maybe they said, oh, I'm going to be so lonely, I'm not going to know anyone. And they got to know a few people and they feel, I do feel really well connected. So maybe the expectation of what would happen when you're virtual versus when you're in an office was different. So your threshold of satisfaction also changed. So that's where I was also thinking that things like organizational network analysis are interesting to see how many people are individuals actually connecting with, because again, maybe those who started a year and a half ago before the pandemic connected with more people or maybe fewer, but the expectation is different today. And something else, this is actually another thing we were talking about in our management meeting earlier today, is in some ways how the role of like a chief people officer changes, or somebody in talent management, that to your point, Maddie, in how many people are you connecting with and are you less siloed if you're virtual? What can leaders also do to more proactively help initiate those connections and do it over time? That it's not just the onboarding and, hey, you're month in, okay, now you know the ropes, you're on your own, because we know all the incredible impact that it has on satisfaction and how likely you're to stay with the company, on your career development, probably even skill set and knowledge, like so more informal, that doesn't necessarily maybe translate into immediate pay raises and promotions. But then over time too, we've seen many studies that show that the more people you know in the organization, the more knowledgeable you are about how things work. Maybe somebody is going to think of you for a specific role, et cetera. So I think there's still a way that the organization can help people as we're, you know, sitting there and saying, yes, I do want to make friends. How do we facilitate these, you know, interactions and getting to know more people even more effectively?
Yeah, actually, one of the resources that we list in the slides is an article from CNBC that's 8 tips about you know, being onboarded or getting a new job, you know, in the pandemic. But the part that strikes me as the most interesting is the idea that you do as, so both sides of the coin, the new person and the organization, and more specifically the kind of management, senior management, it's just really important to take responsibility for making those connections. So making those connections possible on the management side, and then taking the initiative, you know, on the individual side, because it's just so much a more valuable experience. And I think many people have felt, you know, a little kind of lost and isolated at times for whatever reason. It's not a great feeling. So, you know, now if it's a little bit easier to get connected to people, just kind of remembering that it's not necessarily going to be handed to you on a silver platter either. But it's a good idea to kind of reach out, you know, to others in your new company and, you know, introduce yourself and, you know, just start getting to know people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually, I think, is a good segue to our last data point. It says if you have colleagues who are starting working for your company in the last year, how well have you gotten to know them? And this, to me, it really struck me because it's so different. Because almost the same number of people said better than colleagues I met before, as not as well as colleagues I met before. So it's where other when we were asking people, hey, if you yourself were onboarded, how satisfied are you with the connections? And you can see that probably people are really making a concerted effort to connect with others. But if you're on the other end of the equation and there are other people joining, maybe depending on your role or depending on your organization, there's so many things to unpack here. You don't feel as well connected to those individuals because maybe you feel like now it's kind of a setting where, you know, in a way they're selecting whether to connect with you, not in a negative way, but depending on maybe what your role is, you don't need to interact with others as much as possible. And so because you don't get invited to a launch or you're not sitting with a group, all of a sudden that interaction really drops. But to me, I loved this because it just shows that true difference in experience of individuals and why it's so important to study things like this, because not everybody goes through it equally.
Right. And to me, this is also like a peer-to-peer kind of signpost, right? So if you got to know new people less in the pandemic, then maybe that's a reason to think, oh, maybe I can do a little bit more to reach out to new people, even if they're not literally on my team.
Yeah.
Help them feel welcomed. And then, you know,
Yeah.
the good side of that is I'll get to know them better too.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's also interesting because our minds probably go towards it's much more important for new people to connect with others, whether it's again for their career growth or just understanding how things work. But if you think about it, it really goes both ways because even if somebody has been with the organization for a while, you can learn so much from those newcomers, especially, hey, how are things done in the other industries and other organizations? They bring a different viewpoint. So it's not, I think sometimes when we think about this acclimation to the culture, we think of it more as a one-way street and don't necessarily think about maximizing all the benefits that existing employees can have from all the new talent coming in, which I think could actually, again, from a retention standpoint, you know. Hey, we've always done things this way. Like it can really shake things up in a very positive way.
Yeah, exactly. So look how we're out of time already.
I know. I know I was watching that and we had a question and we'll have to get back to Evan. I'm sorry, Evan, separately. But this was such a fun discussion and I think it'll continue to be really valuable for organizations because again, even post-pandemic, I think the way onboarding is happening, the way we look at people working virtually, whether it's from home or from different satellite offices, is going to continue to evolve. So, Maddie was mentioning the article from CNBC. We also included one from Harvard Business Review of how working from home has impacted the relationships of work and this the social capital and all of the different things that we've been talking about. So next week, actually, Maddie and I both have our birthdays on Tuesday.
Yes, we are birthday twins.
We are. So we, as much as we love all of you and are so grateful that you're coming to our show, we're going to take the week off and spend a little bit of time, you know, celebrating and with our families, et cetera, within reason of how birthdays can be celebrated these days, but we will be back the week after. So don't forget about us in just a couple of weeks. Thank you so incredibly much again for joining us, for always sharing your thoughts, and we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
See you later.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye.